Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 6. When Mercedes unlocked the door to her apartment, she was more than tired. She was exhausted. She dropped her overnight bag on the floor with a soft thudding sound and shut the door, flicking on the lights with her other hand. Daniel had indeed been incredibly grateful, and the complimentary rooms had only been the beginning of what had essentially been anyone's vaguest fantasy. A limo had taken them around. They had seen the famous Wynn art collection, eaten dinner at the Bellagio's French restaurant Le Cirque, met several famous actors as they were guided through the casinos, gotten front row tickets to Celine Dion, and finally taken a helicopter ride over the strip at night. They had all slept in late, and the flight back, which, due to the Wendy's jet having been sent off to fetch a high roller from Baltimore, had to be commercial, had not given them much chance to rest. Now, even though she had slept until noon, she was tired, and as she had driven home from the airport, she wanted nothing more than to take a hot shower, put on her most comfortable pajamas, and snuggle up on her couch. She knew she still had to talk to Charlie, but hadn't really had a moment where it would have been appropriate for her to use her phone in private. This morning, she'd been too tired and hungover. Then they'd been too busy saying goodbye to Daniel. Then the airport, the flight home, the drive. There weren't enough hours in the day, she decided. But now she was home. She could put it off no longer.
No, she said, even though the apartment was empty. I can put it off 10 more minutes. If I don't shower, I'll kill myself.
She went to her bathroom, took off her clothes, and stepped into the shower. She was busy washing her hair when her cell phone rang. It was still in the pocket of her jeans, lying on the bathroom floor, and she almost slipped trying to lean out and grab it. Her eyes were full of shampoo, so she didn't bother checking the screen, but just held it to her ear.
Hello?
Are you back from Vegas?
Charlie's voice said. Mercedes gasped, and she almost dropped the phone.
Yes, I'm back. I'm actually just washing the airplane smell off me right now.
Charlie hesitated. She could feel it through the phone, feel him struggling to find the words, something he only did when he was nervous.
I was wondering if I could see you, he said. Tonight?
Yes, of course. We should really talk. I don't know if tonight's the best idea. We had a big day yesterday, and I do mean big in the absolute most literal sense of the word. I'm kind of tired. How about tomorrow?
I'd really appreciate it if it could be tonight.
Please.
She sighed, shifted the phone to her other hand.
Just a second, okay? I'm in the shower. Let me just rinse my hair out.
I'll hold.
She put down the phone and quickly stuck her head under the shower head, rinsing the soap out. When she felt clean again, she turned off the water, dried her hands, and picked up the phone again.
Okay, all done. I suppose we can do it tonight, if it's that important. Do you want me to come by your place, or?
No, actually. I've got something else in mind. Can you meet me in Golden Gate Park?
Why the park? Don't tell me you're going to go for a stroll there at night. I was there the other day. It's not exactly pleasant after dark.
No, I wasn't planning on a stroll. Do you know the Japanese tea garden?
Mercedes thought about it for a moment.
Yes, I think so. Why do you want to meet there?
Because it's the right place for this talk. Trust me. 7:30?
She lifted the phone away from her ear so she could look at the time.
Okay, I should be able to make that. No, wait, can we make it 8? Traffic might be bad.
8 it is. I'll see you then.
Charlie hung up. Very unlike him, Mercedes thought. He usually said goodbye or some more affectionate greeting. She put the phone down and grabbed her towel, drying herself off while looking into the mirror.
Why would he want to meet in a tea garden?
She asked herself as she finished drying and brushed her hair out. She'd never been to the Japanese garden, but knew of it. It was supposed to be beautiful. At least she was reasonably sure he wasn't bringing her there to break up with her completely. If he had wanted to do that, he would have come over to her place. Easier to break up and run off.
Like I did, she thought. Dios mio, I feel like such an ass. I think that was what Daikokuten wanted to tell me. That my relationship is only truly fantastic if I don't know what's coming and if there's some risk. Maybe I can explain that to him as well.
She went to her bedroom, got dressed, and went back to her car. As she drove through the city, she couldn't help but smile. She had seen the thousands of twinkling lights on the strip, and it had been gorgeous, like looking into a treasure chest of diamonds in every color imaginable. But to her, the smaller, more intimate lights of downtown San Francisco and the glow of the Golden Gate Bridge in the distance were what made her happy. She had never seen a city more beautiful than this one. When she parked her car in the lot outside the Japanese tea garden, she was surprised at how empty the lot was. Checking the garden's opening hours on her phone, she discovered that it closed hours ago, which would account for it. But why would Charlie want to meet here, then? She craned her neck and could see light coming from inside, which meant somebody still had to be in there, even if the two large metal doors were closed. Nevertheless, she couldn't discount the possibility that something dangerous was going on, and slipped her purse containing her gun over her shoulder as she got out of the car. She didn't expect Charlie to lead her into an ambush, but her years working with Jim had taught her never to be defenseless. As she walked closer to the gate, which was shaped like the entrance to a Shinto shrine, a young man in a kimono stepped forward. He had been standing off in the shadows to the side, but as she came closer, he became visible. In his hand was a single candle, which he now lit.
Mercedes? He said, smiling.
Yeah, that's me. Where's Charlie?
Inside. Please, follow me.
He turned and went to the large metal door that closed off the entrance and waited for Mercedes to take the last few steps, placing her right behind him before he pushed open the door. Mercedes held one hand up in front of her mouth as the door slowly slid open and she got her first look at the inside. In front of her was a beautiful pond surrounded by sloping rocks where waterfalls cascaded down into the water below, between little bushes and flowers of various colors. At the top of the rocks stood what looked like a tea house overlooking the pond. Around the pond and tea house, trees spread out in elaborate patterns, and between them, Japanese lights hung everywhere, casting multicolored lights on the water, the grass and the path leading up to the tea house. Over the treetops, she could see the top of a pagoda pointing up into the dark sky. It was the most peaceful and beautiful sight she'd ever seen.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Slowly, she took a few steps forward, and the man in the kimono closed the door quietly behind her. At the same time, soft music began to fill the air, and Mercedes immediately recognized it as Hero by Enrique Iglesias, one of her guilty pleasures.
Where is he?
She again asked the man in the kimono, who, in reply, pointed with his candle towards the top of the rocks and the tea house. She walked forward, feeling like she was walking in a dream. She climbed the rocky steps and saw a familiar figure emerge from the tea house door. Charlie was wearing a suit and looked clean-shaven. He smiled as she approached, walking forward to meet her at the top of the steps and taking her hand. "Do you like it?" he asked, gesturing to the garden around them. Mercedes looked around, eyes wide. She was now at the highest point in the garden, and from here, she could see that the garden was laid out in an incredible pattern, nothing growing wild, but instead shaped and nurtured to perfection. The paper lanterns emphasized the colors of the plants and the buildings, making it look even more perfect.
"It's incredible,"
she whispered, but raised her voice a little.
"How did you..."
"Oh, let's call it a favor. I just hired a guy who has a cousin working here as a caretaker. He helped me set it up."
"He must be a lucky guy, getting to work with something so beautiful every day,"
Mercedes said, her eyes still drinking in the vistas of the garden. "Funny you should put it like that." Charlie still held her hand in his and now turned her toward him. "Because he's not the only one who would like to have something beautiful every day." Mercedes looked into his eyes. A jumble of words rose in her throat as she suddenly realized what this was and what Charlie was saying.
"Wait,"
she said, holding up her hand.
"I've got to... Before you say what I think you're going to say, there's something I need to say first."
Charlie looked surprised.
"Seriously? You really want to go first right now?" "Yes, I do. I just met a Japanese spirit. Well, a god, really, but it's hard to make the distinction sometimes. And he made me realize something. That playing it totally safe and just doing what you know and what you want to do all the time and not taking a chance means that there's no reward either."
Charlie smiled. "Wise words, I suppose."
"So, first of all, I'm super, super sorry about the way I reacted to your job. I was surprised and I was scared. And it's true that I still don't know what I'd do in Manhattan, but I'll never find out until I try, right? So, can we just turn back the clock to before our fight? Can we do the whole thing about your new job over again? Please?"
Charlie shook his head. "No, I'm afraid we can't." Mercedes felt her stomach turn over.
"Why not?"
"Because," Charlie said, pausing a little, "I've turned down the job."
"You turned it?"
Mercedes said, biting her lip.
"But you said it was so important to you."
"It was. But I found out that something else was even more important. I found out that I couldn't be happy if you weren't with me, and that if you weren't happy, I wouldn't be happy. So I called the head office and turned it down. I think most of the top managers choked on their coffee, but when I explained, they understood."
"And what did you explain?" Mercedes said.
"That I'd really like to stay here with my fiancé. If she'd say yes, obviously." Charlie put his hand in his pocket and pulled it out again, holding it closed. Mercedes looked at it, then up at his eyes, feeling her entire body tingle. "Mercedes Perez," Charlie said, slowly raising the hand so it hovered between them. "You're the most amazing woman I've ever met.
You're strong, funny, clever, and beautiful as a goddess. You're everything I've ever wanted and more. I love you more than anything, and I want to stay in this city with you and build a life together.
He slowly sank to one knee and opened his hand, revealing a ring. It was a gold band with a small sparkling diamond at the top.
Mercedes, will you marry me?
Mercedes felt her throat lock, and all she could do was nod furiously several times. Finally, her tongue shifted gears, and she could talk again.
Yes! Take Quiero, Charlie! I love you so much!
Her fingers trembled as she took the ring from his palm, sliding it on her finger. It was a perfect fit. Charlie rose up to face her again.
I think it's traditional to kiss now, don't you?
She threw her arms around him, pressing her lips to his in a kiss that made her see stars, before she realized that she was actually seeing stars. Launching from the foot of the steps, where the man in the kimono still stood, several streaks of gold and silver rose into the night and exploded with a crackling sound. Fiery stars rained down around them.
Dios mío! You went all out, didn't you?
Mercedes said.
If you're gonna do something, go all the way. That's kind of my motto.
Charlie grinned and put his arm around her.
Thank you, Mr. Tanaka. Excellent timing.
Mercedes turned to him.
So, what are you going to do if you turn down your new job?
My old job? It's not like they're going to fire me. I'm good at it. Of course, I might not be driving a BMW like I would have if we'd moved to Manhattan, but
so what?
I like my car anyway.
I like it too, if it's both of us in it, and that's the most important part.
But speaking of what to do now, I hope you're hungry because Mr. Tanaka has allowed me to use this place for 2 more hours, and I was thinking we should take a walk through this garden and see it properly, and then get something to eat. I know that it isn't exactly fitting for the decor, but I brought some food along. Fish tacos from your favorite place in the ferry building.
You're amazing.
But, just so we're clear, if I hadn't turned down that job, you would have gone with me to New York? That was what you were about to say before, right?
Mercedes stuck her hand under his arm.
Well, we'll never know now, will we?
As they walked along the edge of the pond, another starry firework streaked across the garden, reflecting in the water. Mercedes looked into the water and saw herself and Charlie surrounded by radiance from the fireworks. At least she thought it was from the fireworks.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.